All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am Jay Taylor. I'm your host, and I'm talking to you from New York City on this, the 19th day of January, 2021. And I do like to remind you, I publish a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. You can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com. Call our number in New York, 718-457-1426, normal business hours. You'll find us here, 718-457-1426. Like to plug Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? Go to chenpicks.com, chenpicks.com, and Michael Oliver, olivermsa.com. Michael's with us today, and we'll be hearing from him in just a few minutes. Do want to thank all of you for spending time listening to this show and for sending your comments along. We encourage you to continue doing that. Questions for Taylor at gmail.com. Questions, the number for Taylor at gmail.com. And we do want to thank our sponsors. This week's sponsors, Fury Gold Mines, Cassiar Gold Corp, Envy Gold, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Sitka Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, and SK Mining Corp. I've titled today's show, Is Bitcoin Your Financial Savior? Alistair McLeod and Michael Oliver, as I mentioned, is with me. And for the first time, Michael Timmons of Fury Gold Mines will be visiting us to talk about Fury Gold Mines and three major projects that that company is advancing, multi-million ounce gold deposits. It's clear to those not prone to groupthink that global central banks are rapidly racing their currencies towards the dustbin of history. Government deficits are growing exponentially. Rather than allowing interest rates to rise to levels required to fund those deficits, central banks match exponential growth of deficits with exponential growth of money. In the second half of today's show, Alistair McLeod will talk of the impact of an impending currency collapse disaster. What will that mean for the lives of all of us, and how should we best prepare for that day when it comes? If you can at least get people to recognize that there is that potential, most people don't believe it. We'll hear what Michael has to say and why he thinks it's something that you should pay close attention to. And we'll hear what he has to say about Bitcoin as well. Does he think Bitcoin is one of the solutions to this impending disaster? Well, we'll hear what he has to say about that. And in the second segment, Michael Timmons will be with me. As I mentioned, just he is the president and CEO of Fury Exploration. He'll talk to us about that company's three Canadian gold projects, one in Nunavut, one in Quebec, and one in British Columbia. Michael Timmons, as I say, for the first time, will be with us today. This is a successor company to Auren Resources. Some of you will remember Auren was a previous sponsor to this show as well. Well, Auren has acquired another company and acquired some assets with that and added to its own, and it's a company I think you're going to want to pay some attention to. That is Fury Exploration. But now I'm glad to say that Michael Oliver is with us. I know all of you are eagerly awaiting to what he has to say, especially since on January 8th, he turned, I'd say, somewhat cautious on gold. Welcome, Michael, and thanks for joining me again.
Hey, good to be back.
Good to be back, and I just have to ask you because, and I tweeted out, I said to people, Michael doesn't turn cautious or bearish on gold very often. And that's why when he does say something, it means something. You want to pay attention to what you have to say. But just comment, if you would, please, Michael, on January 8th, what you had to say. I would say sort of mildly cautious about gold.
Mm-hmm. We look at we have various magnifying glasses that we look at when we analyze the trend of gold. And I'm talking not just price, but momentum of gold. We look at annual momentum, quarterly momentum, monthly, weekly, daily, etc. And, you know, there's the little stuff, which is daily, changes, you know, every 5 or 6, 7 days, the daily trend will change. The weekly trend will change maybe every 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Monthly, maybe every 4 or 5 months. Quarterly, same story, you know. So right now, the annual momentum trend of gold is unmistakably bullish and not even near levels that would jeopardize that definition of being bullish. But quarterly momentum of gold in the recent drop two, 3 weeks ago, broke some structures that were noticeable to us, and we therefore felt obligated to impart that information to our subscribers. But we cautioned with the statement I just made that annual is still positive. Mm-hmm. We also noted that a lot of lesser timescales of gold's trend were also not negative. They were, they pull back some, but it didn't break anything. So it was only quarterly, and that bothered us a little bit. But our assessment has been since that basically they, the bears, who've been pounding on gold and silver since August and are really not making much progress if you stand back and look at it objectively, especially on silver, they better do it. They better have done it by last week or this week, or they're not going to do it. And overnight during the weekend, the electronic trading of gold on Sunday night, which is part of the Monday session, but Monday was a holiday, so it's part of the Tuesday session. So electronic trading Sunday night, which is actually part of today's session, made a low at 1800.8 on the February front month contract. That was a sharp drop of $29. Mm-hmm. Okay, that lasted about 5 minutes. Somebody dumped 3,300 contracts. Whether they were disappointed in getting out of gold, or whether they were trying to, you know, manipulate it, or whatever the case may be, it immediately reversed about $20 off that low. And today we traded $44 off that low. Again, that's part of today's low by the rules of the COMEX. So the low today is 1800.8, and our high is 1845. And today's settlement price, best I can estimate right now, at 1:30 Eastern Time was when that occurred, was about 1841.50, up about $12 on the day. Okay, so a big sharp reversal day. Silver is like $1.25 off the low of that electronic session, well back over 25. I think that basically the bears have shot their wad, and they've been. This is something that we've researched. My son Brett as well done a lot of homework on this. The issue of when gold rises above a prior multi-years ago high, what happens? We're talking price only now, and you know, back in 1975, we made a high of 200, and then late in the summer of 78, we finally took that high out. After having a 50% drop in gold, by the way. It came up and took out the $200 high. Was that a launch point? No. What happened was, for the next several quarters, gold went up and down, back above and below the old bull market peak of 200. Confusing people. Basically, making noise. Oscillating, going nowhere. But holding its ground, basically. And then it launched. Same story happened. And, of course, you went to 850, you know, by 1980, so it was a huge move. And then later, you know, in the 2000 through 2011 bull move, we finally took out the 850 high that occurred in 1980. And what did we do then? We flip-flopped around for several quarters, confusing everybody, both above and below that 850 price level. And after wearing everybody out, then launched and went to 1900. Okay, so we took out 1900 when? We took it out last summer, July, August, okay? And then we've since done what? A couple quarters of flip-flopping around, both above and below that number. We're behaving precisely as we have at prior bull market trends in gold on a price basis. You take out the old high, and then you confuse people for a couple quarters. And only after you confuse them thoroughly, then you launch. And I think we're about at that point now, where the confusion, I think, is about to end. I think the bears have shot their last round. It didn't do any good. And I think, for instance, I would say right now, just to give you one number, if you close weekly, get a weekly close on the front month gold at about 1890, Now, that's not near the recent highs, which were 1960, early November, and three or four weeks ago. But if you close about 1890 on a weekly close on the front month goal, which is now February, expect it to launch. So, yes, we were cautious 2 weeks ago, but our caution has melted. We tend to think that the bears had their chance, and they blew it again.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to launch, and I know that you had talked about some pretty high numbers. We'll leave those go for today, but suffice it to say, you think we'll take out the old highs, I guess.
Oh, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. By quite a margin.
Quite a margin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, and silver, you mentioned just briefly, nothing broke on silver, I think, as far as your momentum structure, right?
No. In fact, if you go back to August, look at the high that occurred then. 1 week after the high, at 29.90, I think it was, you dropped down to 23.50 in 1 week, okay? Now, draw a line across the chart on silver at 23.50, and you'll notice that twice since that August sell-off, silver has broken below 23.50. Spent about a week under it, said, heck, I can't sustain, went right back above it, and went back up in the 25, 26, 27, 28 area. Well, this recent break didn't even get to 23.50. And right now we're trading about 25 and a quarter. So if you sold silver back in August into that hole, you're not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kissing your sister. The silver market's going sideways at worst. So the bears, I think, have shot a lot of bullets and really haven't gained ground. And I think
about
to wrap up.
All right, Michael, with about a minute left, in terms of commodities, what do you like most? And maybe a quick comment on platinum, as one of our listeners would like to hear what you have to say about that.
Platinum is a laggard. It's moving with the commodity complex now. It broke out a few months ago by our metrics and even on a price chart. But it looks no better than, it frankly doesn't even look as good as corn and soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
It is not behaving like gold and silver. And I think the reason for that is simply it is not a monetary metal. It is a precious metal, an industrial metal, but it is not a monetary metal, and it's not behaving like gold or silver. And I think it will move up with the commodity complex. And right now it's trading about, I think, 1,080 on platinum. I think the next swing target on platinum, not the last one, just the next move, could take it to 1,400. But it's really not doing better than the overall commodity complex.
All right, very good. And I guess the grains are what you're really most bullish on right now.
Grains look good. We like fertilizer stocks. Some of them have gone up since our buy signals of 30%. One of them 75%. We like certain of the oil subsectors, stock market subsectors of the oil industry, better than we like energy itself, though energy is moving up. There are various, it's not just the commodities themselves. Sometimes it's the stocks that are related to the commodities that are doing better than the commodities. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. We'll have to leave it go at that. Thank you so much, Michael,
Thank you,
being with us again. And your insights always are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Well, folks, we have to go to break now, but don't go away because we'll have another Michael with us, Michael Timmons, for the first time of Fury Gold Mines, will be with us to talk about that company's three exciting gold projects in Canada. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Michael Timmons.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Cassiar Gold Corp. trades on the OTCQB under the symbol CGLCF. And on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GLDC. Its flagship asset, the Cassiar Gold Project, is a large advanced stage road-accessible gold property with an NI 43-101 compliant resource estimate of 1 million ounces at 1.43 grams per ton gold at the Taurus near-surface bulk tonnage gold deposit and 15 kilometers of high-grade gold prospects. The property hosts several past-producing high-grade gold mines and is in search for the next multi-million-ounce gold camp in British Columbia. Fury Gold Mines is a Canadian exploration and development company committed to aggressively growing its scalable, high-grade gold assets across its 3.5 million-ounce portfolio. Led by a management team of proven explorers and developers, Fury aims to generate major catalysts and performance per share by advancing exploration campaigns across Canada. Fury is well positioned to create value for investors with low risk development growth and the potential for a new major discovery. Fury Gold Mines trades on the TSX and NYSE American under Fury. To learn more, go to furygoldmines.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.